Today's program was brought to you by Whole Foods Market. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Terry Diabolik / Darren Bresnitz, watching Greg Bresnitz clean his shorts.
These shorts are supposed to be clean for the next week, and I've
pizza sauce them.
Yeah, pizza sauce them.
Big shout out to Tiki Disco this weekend. It was insane. That's all I have to say. Very excited. Happy Memorial Day to you, to yours, to everyone. Hope you're tuning in.
Do you wish to yours for Memorial Day?
Is that one of those?
It's for all holidays, right? To use in yours?
I feel like it's
sure.
Just the
why not
winter holidays, mostly Christmas.
I'll check with Emily Post on that one.
Okay.
We are joined today by Harris and Adam of Underground Eats.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Purveyors of some of the finest business cards I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
Seriously. Let's just start there. Where did the business cards come from? Did you have them first and then we should have a business around this?
We should start a business around this. These are so awesome, basically, yes.
It was actually a bit of an argument between Adam and I because I come from a design agency background and I love design and am very passionate about the brand Underground Eats and how it's portrayed. And
I come from a startup background where every penny counts.
Right. So we balance each other out in a good way. And yeah, we had a big argument. We met through a mutual friend, one of the founders of Seamless Web at the time that Adam had a cereal company where you could customize your own cereal online. And I was consulting with them on some design and marketing.
That's still around?
And branding.
It is not. It is not. We sold it in last fall. It's called Me and Goji.
How did it go?
It went quite well. I ran it for about 3 years, and we had a website where you could design your own cereal from over 60 all-natural and organic ingredients, name your recipe, put your picture on the label, and we shipped all around the U.S.
Was there anybody who put together just a terrible recipe?
Yeah, we would get that a lot. People would add absurd things like 15 servings of cinnamon, you know, which is probably about 2 inches deep worth of cinnamon, and...
Then we get 2 fingers of cinnamon in the cereal.
Would you ever step in, or would you just be like, customer's always right?
Nope, we'd step in. Actually, by the end, we'd be like, you know what? They're just going to try to return this if we actually do it. So we'd kind of monitor and engage what they're doing. And
red cinnamon flag. These guys seem like they're over their load.
Yeah.
And so you weren't doing food either.
My background's in web design, development, brand identity, and design. So I still do a little bit of that. But this kind of was always a passion of mine, food. And I really wanted to come up with a way to take my background and experience and actually apply it to something I really love. So this is that.
You two meet.
Yeah,
and did you have the idea for Underground? Well, explain to people what Underground Eats is before we get into the before we keep going back to the history of you. What is Underground Eats?
Sure.
Well, Underground Eats is a discovery platform for unique culinary experiences, and that can range from anything from a special tasting menu at a chef's table within a restaurant to secret supper clubs or pop-up restaurants, or even more bizarre, elaborate things like the lunch on the L train that was thrown last year by a razor shiny knife.
Oh, shout out to Michael Cerino.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to Michael.
How is he doing? He's been a guest in here. I haven't seen him like seven, 8 months.
I think it's because he's mostly with us. He's actually our producer, event producer that we're working with on Absurdity at the McKittrick. So he will rise again. You'll
mustache
see
full and
mustache is full and kicking. Yeah, as usual.
So you two met, and did you have this idea, or when did this whole idea for Underground Eats start rattling around from an idea to reality?
It just started probably, I started thinking about it about a year ago. Was playing around with a bunch of ideas. Originally, the concept was a little bit different, and then I brought Adam on board, and we kind of put our heads together, and we did a lot of research and met with a lot of people in the industry and chefs and diners, and really realized that there was a big hole in the market for aggregating, curating, and producing these events. There were really cool events. There's people like you guys and tons of other people that are doing amazing things throughout the city, but there's not a single place to go to find them all. So you have to subscribe to 100 different newsletters, happen to talk to your friend and they mention it, get all of these, go to all of these websites, and it became hard for people where their focus is really food, which obviously has been exploding as of recent. So,
yeah, it's been amazing to see, I think, people move beyond the Underground Supper Club and want something that's even more personal and private and out there than just eating at someone's house.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for us, it's about the experience. And, you know, the experience doesn't have to be a crazy, elaborate experience, but it has to be memorable. And that's really the bar that we set, is it has to be a memorable experience. So, you know, it doesn't need to be a $3,000 experience where an amazing, you know, Iron Chef comes and cooks for you and your friends in your house. It can be a gathering of food trucks with an amazing band and, you know, a pretty laid-back agenda, but it has to be memorable, and that's the bar that we set.
So what are some of your more memorable food experiences that have acted as influences for what you want to do?
I mean, there's been a ton, and we just try to kind of really sink our teeth into the whole space. A couple that we have right now that have been doing really well on our site is we have an experience where you can go and be sous chef for a night at a great restaurant in Tribeca called Metaphor, where the chef Jahangir Mehta, who was on Iron Chef previously, and you can go and you sit down with him and you talk about the menu, you plan it out, and then you're in the kitchen chopping, dicing, and slicing and preparing a meal. And then a guest will come and, you know, you prepare it in front of them and enjoy it with them.
What type of background do you need to have to be able to do that?
Well, we try to make it so, you know, it's you don't really have to have the best knife skills in the world. It's more about just getting your hands dirty, really. So you don't have to be a trained chef. I think there's a lot of people out there that, you know, love to cook, and they cook at home, and they've always fancied themselves as a chef of sorts. And so this is an opportunity to actually, you know, get in the kitchen. If you're a banker or a lawyer or something, you can actually get in the kitchen, get your hands dirty, and see what that world's all about.
Mm. It's amazing, since so many of those guys usually wind up switching careers at 50, become chefs.
Right.
It's maybe the wetting their whistle. What else do you have going on the site?
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of things. We're working on an event. It's not up on the site just yet, but the it's the Breslin Butcher's Ball. We're working with Pat LaFrieda and April Bloomfield and Josh Ozersky. Always a shout out to Ozersky TV, which we produce. And it's going to be at the Ace Hotel on the 27th. And Pat LaFrieda's got his top 1%, the LaFrieda Reserve, that he's releasing for the first time. And I know
1% of?
Top 1% most succulent, amazing porterhouses that he doesn't have enough to sell commercially.
When is this?
This is June 27th, so you guys should should come out. Yeah,
we're here.
April's going to do a butchering demo.
Man, the Pat LaFrieda burger at the
Minetta.
Yeah, at the Great Googa Mooga.
Oh,
whatever amazing blend that they were cooking up.
I know,
which
yeah
must have been their whatever.
Ridiculous.
It was like tartare.
The burger master. Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. No, April Bloomfield's great too. She's gonna be breaking down what a cow pig. What
yeah, something. She's gonna break down the 4-9 cut, and all of the hors d'oeuvres and everything are gonna come off the same primal cut, and then the main course will be, you know, the pièce de résistance. The
how many tickets are you selling for this?
That one, I believe, is about 100. We're still finalizing details for that, but we're
98 because we're gonna come.
Exactly. So 98 left. Yeah, we're so that one's going to be amazing, and we'll have an after party at the Breslin and it'll be a great time.
Very greasy after party.
Yeah, it'll be
very sleepy.
Very sleepy meat induced coma after party sweats. Yeah, meat sweats. So that's another one that's coming up.
Yeah, we have a lot. You know, basically, if you're looking to do something, you know, kind of interesting and with food, you know, it makes there's some great things you can do if you're going on a date or if you have family in town. But we just have these kind of one night only type experiences. Everything, you know, from supper clubs to pop ups that, you know, it's different than just going to a dinner and ordering off the menu like you have 1,000 times before.
Right. Yeah. So why don't we play a song, and we'll come back. We'll talk about your event with Sleep No More.
Cool. Excellent.
And whatever you can share about that.
Absolutely.
And we'll discuss what you can and can off air, and then we'll come back to it.
Sure. Maybe we'll let something slip.
Yeah. Well, this is a shout out to a band I saw this week, That Dog, who rose from the ashes from like the 90s and played at Music Hall Williamsburg. So here we go.
You're pretty dreamy for a boy from Long Island. You should come to see me on my western horizon. Seems as though table. We can sit forever watching reruns on cable. Take you driving in my brother's beat up car. Sharing a cigarette, we'll wish upon a star together. So you say you like my shirt.
I like your shirt.
And you say you've got a lot just like him.
I've got a lot just like him.
And I hear you wrote a song. I
pretty dreamy for a boy from Long Island. You should come to see me on my western horizon. Take you driving in my brother's beat up car, sharing a cigarette. We'll wish upon a star together.
You know what we haven't done in a while? Shout out mom and dad.
Hey mom, hey dad. Hey mom, hey dad.
Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day. Oh, and shout out to Mission Chinese Food.
Oh yeah, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Have you guys been?
Yeah. I had a very nice meal with my friends Jay and my girlfriend Jenny.
How was it?
It's amazing.
It was
awesome. My face melted. Like, actually took it back because I was so I'd been literally burned before by the white methanol heat that I took very small bites of the Mapo tofu because I was, you know. And then we got the wings. Oh my god,
they're so good.
The wings.
We got the
just on a pile of chilies.
The long beans, not the appetizer, but the like Mongolian long beans. And just a plate, you're like, oh, what is this? And 5 minutes later, you're like, whole body is sweating. But it was good. It was awesome. We ended up accidentally going on opening night. I wasn't paying attention, and it was really rad. They just had like a keg wrapped in balloons that you could just drink off in the front.
I think that's like a regular thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, because I went there on Friday. They had keg.
Hey, why you guys got to ruin something that was
well? That was special for about less than a week. Thanks, guys. really appreciate.
I think it's special every
day. Have you been there?
That's crazy.
You been to it yet?
I haven't. I really want to. Obviously, been reading about it.
Just go early. Just go early at like 6.
Yeah, that's when we went. We just waited an hour, sipped on that keg that's not so special anymore. You jerks. And it's good.
Nice.
I go with, you know what's one that seems like, I only went with one other person.
Go with like 4 people.
Go with, like, I regretted it because we ordered for 4 and ate for 3.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So let's talk about your inaugural event happening June 3rd.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're obviously really excited. We've been, the website's been up for 3 months and we've done a couple events here or there, but this is our big party, kind of announcing our arrival. And it's going to be an amazing event. We're really excited. We're the first food event to be given access to the Sleep No More's venue, the McKittrick Hotel, which is, if you haven't been, it's one of the craziest venues in New York.
It's amazing. And so, without revealing too much, will the play be going on while your food event is going on?
Right. So the Sleep No More production is not going on. We're actually creating our own experience.
Okay.
And ironically, or actually almost chosen in part because of it, the McKittrick Hotel, the story behind it, or the fable, if you will, is that it was set to open on the eve of the 1939. And we started doing research around that era, and we were really drawn to the 1939 World's Fair. So that's the concept. It's on the eve of the 1939 World's Fair, which we didn't know, but we learned was kind of a watershed moment in U.S. history. We're on the verge of getting pulled into World War II, and there were a lot of coming out of the Great Depression, and there was a lot of optimism finally, and it was about futurism and the world of tomorrow. Not only that, it was also the introduction of surrealism to the American public with Salvador Dali's pavilion there, Dreams of Venus. So there's a lot of really interesting intersecting things.
You're going to have like a lot of eyeballs being cut and things like that.
There's going to be a lot of surrealist components, which is great. The space is amazing and luxurious and a throwback, but it's also a little creepy and weird and amazing.
It's totally creepy.
How are people going to find the food?
So, well, first of all, it's called Absurdity at the McKittrick Hotel, I should say. So, like you said, it's set on the eve of the 1939's World Fair. And we're working with Mark Murphy. So, Chef Mark Murphy from, you know, from Chopped and Ditch Plains, as well as the Landmark restaurants. And we had met him before and talked to him and said, you know, if you could do anything you wanted with food in the city for one night, what would you want to do? And he said, you know, I would really love to do something at Sleep No More. So then when we came across a friend, one of the producers, Jonathan, there, and suggested putting on, you know, an amazing culinary experience at the venue, you know, he was on board. The first person we called was Mark Murphy and said, hey, we have the space. Like, what would you do there? So he's really leading the culinary direction, I guess we should call it, where the food is going to be literally served in sort of a, it's going to be an actual movable feast where no one's sitting down. Everything is going to be kind of theatrical service pieces and stations where you're wandering through these different environments and, you know, the food will really be kind of part of the atmosphere as opposed to, you know, a sit-down dinner.
Amazing. So how many people?
So,
I mean, let me put this way. I've been to a number of food events, and I believe we all know how people the most civilized pine people will just turn to
animals.
So, you know, if it's movable, how do you combat the human instinct?
I think that's the key. I mean, I don't know if you guys were over at Googa Mooga, but you know, we want to avoid aspects of people waiting in line and crushes, and we feel the best way is to circulate the food, and you know, I think it also plays really well into our theatrical service concept. So there's going to be roving drink carts, Bloody Mary carts, and punch carts, suckling pigs stuffed with pork loin are literally going to be moving throughout the venue, as well as a lot of past items. So, you know, the idea is to get people to mingle. There's going to be live music, but food will be moving throughout the crowd as opposed to people having to go to it.
And it's the whole hotel?
It's not. So we're focused in the Manderley Bar, which is that beautiful kind of red velvet, sexy room up front in the hotel lobby. And then we have a pretty interesting VIP experience, which we haven't really talked about, but I don't know. We like you guys, so maybe we'll...
Yeah, why don't you give us a couple of hints?
We'll spill a little about that today.
Yeah, sure. So we've really just been kind of finalizing this VIP experience, and we're able to get into a whole nother environment within the McKittrick Hotel that no one else will have access to. And we wanted to really do something to blow people's minds. And as we said, Salvador Dali had this pavilion at the 1939 World's Fair called the Dream of Venus. And one of the kind of key or iconic figures in there was just the lobster. He was very, just consumed with lobster for a period in his career.
That lobster telephone piece is one of my favorite pieces.
It's amazing, right?
It's so amazing.
That will make an appearance.
That will definitely make an appearance.
It's one of my, when I saw it at the Tate Modern, I was like, oh my, this is so genius.
You know,
have you seen it? It's a plastic lobster glued to top of like one of those black rotary phones. Genius.
Lobster telephone.
Like beef burrito, chicken burrito.
Some things just work.
You know? Iguana croissant.
It's like the Dorito, at Taco Bell, the Dorito taco. Yeah. Some things just made to go together. But so he once said, you know, I don't understand when I go to a restaurant and order a roast lobster that I'm not served a cooked telephone. And we really liked that quote and kind of grasped that imagery. And so we'll be recreating, I can't say what, but a very iconic Salvador Dali piece of art in the flesh, I should say.
Just recipes for sautéed telephones will be up on the website.
There'll be obviously, you know, cooked telephone doggy bags that you can take with you. But
so cryptic. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So where can people? When the tickets go on sale? Where can people get them?
Yeah,
I think it's sold
out.
That's the bad news. We were overwhelmed by the response. We sold out of regular tickets in about 2.5 hours. We were pretty overwhelmed with the response. I think we can take a little bit of the credit, but the McKittrick Hotel is such an iconic underground favorite venue at this point. It has its own fans as well. So, you know, we're really excited to show our take and put on our performance and hopefully really tantalize people with the food and the drink and the experience, because we really feel that, you know, all of those things are too intertwined to pull them apart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, if I can't go to this one,
yeah.
What's the website and the Twitter? Yeah. I'll have to go to the next one.
Absolutely.
And how do I hear about things before it sells out?
Yeah. The best way is to subscribe and be a member of Underground Eats, which you can, another member can invite you, or you can request an invite through the site at Underground Eats. And
who's your gatekeeper?
It tends to be me, but I'm pretty lenient now.
Do you have a certain song or music you play while you're selecting people?
I usually go with my own Pandora channel, which is, tends to be more optimistic. Yeah, exactly. Adam tends to be more of the naysayer. No.
Sold out on Snacky Tunes. All right, Denzel, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We will definitely see you on June 27th. Congratulations.
I'm going to see you on June 3rd.
You better be there.
I'm totally going to be there. Black tie, right?
Yeah, black tie. We prefer period attire, which I know you can get down with.
I mean, you're going to, it's that 3-piece suit from Brooklyn Terrace that I'm just going to wear.
You know, really, your interpretation of...
He just said, not good enough. He literally
hey, I have one option. You will get that one option.
Okay. But I've seen several options from you.
Are you guys going to, do you have your outfits yet?
Oh, you know what? We're working. I just got, I don't know if it's Black Tie enough. I'm getting a seersucker suit, but I don't think that's...
You know,
do you depends think, how you execute.
Do you think his shorts would look good in a black tie affair?
No, that's what exactly. I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I would keep working on it.
We were thinking about what to wear. Just ask, what would Salvador Dali do?
Yeah.
I don't know. Get lobsters and grow a mustache.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you guys so much. Congratulations. Definitely check out. I will see you on the 27th.
Absolutely. Danielle Ballou just walked by.
Yeah, he's here. He's here. He's here with his mom.
Yeah, he's with Patrick, like right there.
He
I
was.
Think.
Oh. That would be really weird. And kind of anyway, so he actually I met him at Mission Chinese on Wednesday. He asked what I did, and I said I do radio. And now he's here on the day of the show.
Yep, and there he is.
All right, okay. So, all right, well, here we go. We got two songs for the summer. All right, bye.
Thanks, guys.
forehead with your fingers crossed. You hug my wrist, now I'll never forget that pebble pushing up and into my knee. You set the sky light up, you set the sky light up, and all the kids in the playground waiting for the light up. You set the sky's lit sign, you set the sky's lit sign, and I was watching the blue in your eyes come by. You set the sky light up, you set the sky light up, and we were all waiting for. And I'm all I feel anymore, no, I can't see anymore. I didn't like it, I was excited by it. What will I say?
Black Eyes, what a giant jam from back in the early 2000s. We are live in studio Spinto Band. Welcome, boys, to Snacky Tunes.
Hello, hello.
How was the pizza? How was the beer?
Beautiful on all accounts.
Yes. We're just playing a little game of music, literally musical chairs.
Moving around.
All right. No? No. So why don't we go around the room, introduce yourself, say who you are, what you play, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. My name is Nick, and I play guitar and I sing words.
You don't have to raise your hand. No one can see us.
Oh, they can't look out this window.
It's kind of like half, like one way. Like you can't really see in, but we can see out. You raise your hand. I'll do a dancer wave. Yeah.
That's the way I like it. Yeah. I wish. Can you come into Roberta's and order this seat? And like, I want to sit in the seat where I can just stare at everyone.
We're the only music show, really. There's one other music show. Most of it's like talk radio, so I don't know how engaging it would be. Unless you like stalked a guest or a host, and you like want to like lock eyes with them and be like, "Get me! I want to be in the show." But generally, I feel like people are more surprised and like slightly perturbed or questioning why they're having a bunch of people stare at them while they eat at that one particular table.
And this is Thomas, and I sing and I'm playing ukulele right now.
This is Joe. I play some guitar and sing a bit.
And Sam, and I'm playing some keyboards.
Nice. So you guys have been around for a while, so why don't you give the some people background on where you're from and what you've been up to the last few years?
Oh, wow. Well,
we do broad questions here.
Total broad.
Well, we're from the Wilmington, Delaware area, and we've spent the last couple of years holed up in a recording studio that we built maybe about 3 years ago, and we've been recording. We recorded a record there. We did a documentary film soundtrack, and we've just been working out of there for the last 3 years or so.
What was the documentary?
It was a documentary called Biba, which is about the democracy.
We've been feeding them beer and pizza, so
it's a documentary called Biba about democracy in a little island in the Pacific Ocean called Tinian. So this island is was kind of post World War II, kind of the U.S. has been kind of up in its grill and sort of coaching it along and telling her about democracy and how cool it is. And so then this film kind of documents an election in this island a couple years back.
And what is the process of writing music for a documentary? Like, how does that work versus the process of collaborative writing a record?
Well, yeah, I mean, this was actually our first time ever doing a documentary, specifically, and this, when the director approached us, he had some sort of ideas about the kind of music he wanted. For example, like the island itself is like, the government is sort of a mix of this democracy that we're trying to teach them about, and then they're just normal clan kind of like way of governing. So it's this weird kind of mixture of the two. And the one thing that he noticed was it was really kind of like had a vibe of the Wild West. I don't know if that's appropriate or what, but that's what the way he felt. And so he wanted kind of like a spaghetti Western soundtrack mixed with some island music and stuff like that.
Can you give us like 20 seconds of like what that sounds like?
Oh man, let's see.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay.
A little bit like that.
I like that. And then the album, new album that you guys put out yourself,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, before we get to that, because I feel like it's a good chunk, let's talk about the studio that you built, which I feel, well, that had to come before the album, right? We keep things chronological here. We get really confused. So
that's the egg to our chicken.
I mean, when I moved here to New York 2005, 2006, you guys were around. We played, what was that, Rothko's? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
I saw you guys play there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow, yeah. Wow, that's bringing it back.
Yeah,
right
so
there.
I saw you guys play there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fred Armisen introduced us at that
show,
really? I believe.
He just opened up for That Dog, who I saw this week. What do you mean he opened up? Like,
he did 20 minutes.
Wow. Oh,
it was sort of funny. You know.
That's his style.
Yeah.
So what made you decide to, you know, build a recording studio and go that route? Or how did that come about?
Well, we were just seeking a location that we could all... It had been a dream of ours from very long ago when we were little kids, and for whatever reason, we just ended up recording the previous two records in recording studios. You know, booking time, like, okay, here we have a month to do this, blah blah blah, get out the songs, and we just wanted to approach the record with a more relaxed time frame. And we found this amazing space that used to be a garden center, greenhouse, coop,
nice
in a very pastoral section of Delaware.
Any soundproofing issues?
Only thing, there was this pizza place attached to it that was really noisy. No, it was great.
All right, let's get a song. wait, who's singing so you can get the mics?
This will be Nick singing on this number here. So, how are we going to do this?
Spento Band live on Snacking Tunes.
Yes, indeed. Snacking it up. 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3.
is awesome. Yeah. What is that song called?
The Living Things.
I feel like there should have been like French horns in that song.
That's what it sounded like though, a little bit on the synthesizer, right? A little bit of horns.
Yeah, that's is that the French horn sound? I also have the frog sound too, which they sound remarkably alike.
And the salsa just pre-programmed beat.
Yeah. That's a funny sound.
So you built the greenhouse. What's the name of the greenhouse recording studio?
The Garden Center.
Interesting. So that took you guys like what, 2 seconds, 3 seconds? And then so did the documentary come when you start working on the record, or was it kind of intertwined, or what was the process?
Yeah, we started on the record first and actually had just finished the album when that whole documentary thing came in, and so it was kind of sort of a relief because we kind of were fed up with recording after like spending so much time on an album, and then the documentary was a really good excuse to do more recording but not be in a fresher mental space. Mm-hmm.
Obviously the record is yours, but when you do a documentary, like, did you feel less ownership or less precious, or what was like the mentality about the songs that you, or the music you made for that?
It was nice because there was already a theme set in place, and we're also, the film was already made and edited, and so we just had to provide music to fit the images, and there was already an end product that was there that we just had to make an accompaniment for, as opposed to writing for ourselves, which is, you never know, it's a big question mark whenever you're writing or recording a song.
So like when the director would come up and be like, I don't like this, did you argue? Were you like, all right, we'll just try something else?
No. I mean, like, luckily he liked a lot of what we did. But I mean, it's sort of his project at the end of the day, you know? So, and that was sort of one of the fun parts for me, at least, was just being in a situation where I was like taking more direction rather than it was just like, oh, we're going to make our own thing. It was like, oh, like, it's fun to collaborate with somebody and work with someone who is not only in a different field, but we don't even know as well as we know, you know, each other and stuff like that.
How do you guys know each other?
Oh.
We're brothers.
Yeah.
And my brother is also in the band.
Yeah.
Here today. We're just childhood friends. Our parents were friends with each other, and we met Nick in a lower school in Wilmington, Delaware.
And you're all still friends?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, four of you have to be because you're brothers.
So the new record is out on your own label.
What's the name of the label?
Spintonic Recordings.
So 1 second. This time. Need to reinvent the wheel. So what was the decision, to lead you to make your own record, and, you know, what tools are you using to get the record out there?
CD manufacturing. We have animated GIFs are a big part of it. It just felt like a natural thing to do after the point we're just seeing what record labels were actually doing, and it seemed, I guess, we were kind of ambitious and thought, oh, we could probably just do that ourselves, we don't need anyone to help us out with that, and so we decided to do it. And we're still a little unsure about how it's working out. The record's only been out for a month, so I think it's out in stores. People can hear it. I think it's out there.
Yeah, it's out there. We've been lucky to have distribution through Red Eye, which has been
they're amazing.
Yeah. So it's not all just the back of the station wagon or anything.
No, I mean, but it's those in modern age, like, those are not secrets anymore. Like, you can find, like, you could hire a PR person, a PR team, who your label would probably hire. You can get your own distribution. It's just, it's more work, and, you know, the potential that, like, the label also has its own following, but it really is kind of comes down to marketing and distribution. So it's like, who do you add to your team? So are you doing PR yourselves, or did you hire?
No. Yeah, we hired PR.
Do you want to shout them out?
Definitely. We got Riot Act Media out of Portland, Oregon.
Oh yeah. You know, I always feel that PR people are like the most unsung heroes. We are doing a project. We hired PR people, and I was like, oh, I wonder what it'd be like hiring a PR team this time. And it's like you can set it up, and they will knock it out. Like, they will take it down. Yeah. Oh, however that goes. I don't think. Yeah, turn to the song. Who's singing this time?
I am okay. singing this one.
So this
is, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, should we do that?
Okay.
And then, or should I just?
Okay. Okay. Cool. Yeah. And this. Yeah. What drum beat you got there, Sam? That's pretty fast. Yeah. This our drummer.
Day,
yeah. Our drummer. Our drummer took the day off for Memorial Day. Yeah. A tiny bit slower. Yeah, how about that? One, two, one, two, three, four. Knock on a door, call out a name, fold in your arms together. Remember, the more stops that you make, the more you get paid. Watching the birds, counting the wings, without adding up the feathers. Wait for the word to come through the string and take me away. Whenever seasons come and go, so if you want to clear your throat. After today, after the legs get broken, remember the moon backing away from this burning lake. Whenever seasons come and go, so if you want to, you can try tonight. Any night is the night, and you know if it's right. When it's right, then it's right, and you know when to clear your throat. Oh, 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 clear your throat. Oh, oh, if you want to. Night, any night is a night, and you know if it's right. When it's right, then it's right, and you know when to ask me to leave. Hear my voice down as if my muscles are relaxed. I believe that the choice I've been given is given. In fact, known first, you'd be worse.
I was gonna ask, what are you guys smiling about when you guys gave each other like the "we're in a band" smile right there? So, oh, whoa!
That the drum beat was really hard. The drum beat.
Yeah, yeah. I think we didn't. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
We're good.
Nobody noticed.
That was an experimental rhythm that we're doing. It was sort of what we learned from the island research that we did on the documentary is that those crazy polyrhythms that they do. So that's what we're displaying
great.
There.
All right. So what do you guys eat when you're recording? What do you guys do? Do you guys cook a lot together?
Oh man,
that's a great question.
Is that the obligatory food question we have to ask?
Are you familiar with Delaware's regional cuisine specialties?
No.
Well, right by the studio, we have this place called Capriati's.
Okay.
Which is
hoagies.
Okay.
That's what we do.
Oh, well, I mean, we're from Philadelphia, so we're.
Oh,
yeah. You guys have Wawa down there?
Oh, Wawa.
There's a 24-hour Wawa within walking distance of the studio.
In fact, I would almost say the honorary snack of the studio is from Wawa, which is the Hers cheddar horseradish potato chips.
Oh yeah,
so I don't know if you've had them. But
no, I've not had the privilege.
They're good.
I'm a huge fan of it. Is there actually any like Delaware specific cuisine like the cheese coney from Cincinnati or things along that?
Well, there's scrapple, I think.
Okay, that's like pretty like yeah. Have you had scrapple? Any of you?
Oh, okay, yeah. I was raised on Scrapple. Oh,
okay.
So, and I recommend it to anyone that is skeptical.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. But there's a lot of people, you tell them about Scrapple and they just, they look,
I mean, they also probably don't know half the shit they eat is like equally as weird and,
exactly,
and awful,
exactly,
for them. So
from Australia that just tried it for the first time.
Oh, really? Yeah. What does an Australian think?
Liam, he was into it.
Okay. Australians like Scrapple.
Okay. Yeah, you heard it here first.
They also like Vegemite.
Can I ask what's your go-to order at Wawa?
Oh, at Wawa.
For the hoagie section?
Okay.
I think you can tell a lot by a man by the type of sandwich he orders at Wawa.
Okay.
And a follow-up, do you just order the same sandwich over and over, or do you have...
Wait.
This is a great question for our drummer, who is very absent.
We can be his proxy.
Okay. Okay, Jeff is the... He you know, as men... If people don't know, you on Wawa, you order on a screen,
which is
old, new,
which is like 5 years.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be that way.
Yeah, and I think it's brilliant because I don't like, you know, asking someone if I want a little bit of mayo. You can be as picky as you want with the machine. And our drummer Jeff was notorious for making these crazy sandwiches. I don't know what he would use, the ciabatta bread.
Oh man,
horseradish and blue cheese, buffalo, or chipotle. I don't know.
It
he had a
gross
bunch of
when
buzzwords.
You say it like that. But let's just let the record show, the person who works at Wawa, one time Jeff put his order into the screen, and when the guy delivered the sandwich, he said, "This is a masterpiece." And gave him his sandwich. That's true. And since recently, in the last, what, month, Wawa has actually changed their touchscreen computer system.
For the worse.
For the worse.
And Jeff has a lot of complaints.
Wait, what happened?
They got rid of the ciabatta.
They got rid of the ciabatta.
Yeah.
That was go-to.
And they limited your options in terms of, you know, the beauty of the Wawa ordering screen was that you could make any sort of imaginable.
Yeah. And now I think they limit somehow like what you can toast. It's all this weird red tape.
Jeff was on online forums complaining.
Yeah, you can go on the internet and go to the Wawa forum.
I'm so sad that
And he actually filed a complaint with his local Wawa affiliate, and apparently the two of them had a good discussion, and the Wawa employee agreed with him that the new ordering system wasn't as good as the previous one.
Yeah. I mean, corporate rules, though.
You know, but I mean, hopefully, you know, Jeff will run for office and make some changes.
Yeah. So, summer's here, new record out, so that usually means tour. You guys hitting the road?
Yeah,
Duna.
We are doing a little bit of road hitting. We just finished up a little residency in New York and Philadelphia, and then we're also going to go out to Chicago in a couple weeks, actually, to play Rib Fest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking
so
of
that
food.
Should be exciting. Speaking of food.
Can you use a rib as a whammy bar?
We were thinking about that. Get some, like, Thurston Moore action, like, pour some rib juice on our guitars and see what happens.
Amazing. Well, we want to have a little bit of time to get one more song in, but you want to get people the nuts and bolts, where to find you guys, where to buy the record, how to maybe hire you for a documentary.
More on the finer tips of how to make a Wawa sandwich.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, any Wawa in Delaware, you hang around long enough, we'll be there. Look for the guy ordering the ciabatta bread, and that's probably one of us. But spintoband.com is probably your go-to source.
And we have the record for sale there. It's probably the best place to order it. Cause
if you really want to support the band, then that's the place to go, but... If you really want to support Amazon or iTunes, it's all
Or
there
if you
too.
Have a gift card that your aunt gave you for Christmas time, you still haven't used it, you know.
I have these money to Sam Goody and strawberries.
okay.
I think just so everybody knows, our album is guaranteed by the wall-to-wall lifetime.
My favorite thing would be when I'd be at the wall and I'd see people just bring in the cellophane from a CD and be like, I have the sticker, can I get the CD? And they have to explain to them, it's like, no, you cannot get a new CD without having the old CD with your turn. It's great. I forgot about the wall.
So
what happens if the CD scratches? Don't worry about it.
What is the name of the last song you're going to play?
This is called Leave Yourself Alone. And
who's singing?
I will take this
microphone. Thank you for listening. I will be gone next week. Hopefully we'll be here next week. And if so, Oberhofer will be making his second studio visit. So thanks for the Snacky Tune. Big shout out to Spinto Band and...
Underground Eats.
Underground Eats, and happy Memorial Day.
Yeah,
yeah, there we go.
It was a good time.
Thanks for having us.
You should understand, there's nothing to talk about. You and I may just disagree, you and I can't relate.
Do you mean?
What do you mean? You could hardly get to your feet. You won't leave yourself alone. How could you turn this down when it's something you needed? You left off on the telephone that you had been meaning to dial. Deny, terrible you, you'll hurt yourself to the bone. You say that this doesn't matter to you.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.